Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Antisemitism is the opening section of Hannah Arendt's The Origins of Totalitarianism, where she investigates how a long history of anti-Jewish hostility evolved into a modern political force. Rather than treating antisemitism as an eternal prejudice or a single cause of catastrophe, Arendt traces shifting social roles, economic arrangements, and state interests that turned Jews into symbolic targets during moments of upheaval. It connects changes in European nation-states, the rise and decline of imperial structures, and transformations in class society to new forms of scapegoating and conspiracy thinking. The result is an inquiry into how a minority can be recast as a political problem and then used to reorganize public life around resentment. Arendt's approach is analytical and historical, emphasizing patterns, institutions, and incentives that made antisemitism effective as propaganda and as a tool of power. This section sets up her broader argument about the conditions that later enabled totalitarian movements. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from religious prejudice to political antisemitism, a central topic in Arendt's opening section is the shift from older, largely religiously framed anti-Jewish prejudice to modern political antisemitism. She treats this change as historically contingent. Hostility did not simply remain constant, but took on new functions as European societies modernized. As states and economies reorganized, older religious boundaries interacted with new social hierarchies, producing fresh opportunities to define Jews as outsiders in ways that serve political ends. Arendt emphasizes that political antisemitism gains power when it becomes useful for mass mobilization, providing a simple narrative that converts complex social anxieties into a single target. This process does not require factual accuracy, it requires plausibility within the emotions of a given moment. In her analysis, antisemitism becomes a style of politics that turns grievances into identity and creates the illusion of explanation through conspiracy. The key development is instrumentalization. Prejudice is no longer merely a cultural inheritance, but a strategic device for parties, agitators, and interest groups. By focusing on function rather than timeless hatred, Arendt reframes antisemitism as something societies produce under certain pressures, and therefore something that can expand rapidly when institutions weaken and public judgment becomes vulnerable to propaganda. Secondly, the changing role of Jews in European state and society, Arendt examines how Jews were positioned within European societies in ways that could later be turned against them. She pays attention to periods when Jewish communities became associated, fairly or not, with particular economic roles, intermediating functions, or relationships to state power. When political systems relied on certain networks for finance or administration, minorities could be valued for their utility while remaining socially isolated. Arendt argues that this combination is unstable. Utility does not automatically produce acceptance, and distance can be exploited when crises arrive. When state structures change, the roles that once offered limited protection can become liabilities, allowing opponents to portray Jews as connected to unpopular regimes, abstract money power, or foreign influence. Arendt's interest is not in blaming victims for their circumstances, but in showing how structural placement shapes perception. She underscores how social visibility without social belonging can create a dangerous kind of prominence, where a group is noticed but not integrated. This helps explain why antisemitic narratives could appear credible to people searching for culprits during economic downturns, political defeats, or rapid modernization. The topic highlights Arendt's broader method, understanding how social categories become politically charged through the interaction of institutions, class dynamics, and the public's need for simplified explanations. Thirdly, nation-states, rights, and the logic of exclusion. A recurring theme is how the modern nation-state built around a defined people can generate pressures toward exclusion. Arendt links the problem of anti-Semitism to the politics of belonging, who counts as part of the nation, who has enforceable rights, and who can be treated as an exception. She explores how legal equality on paper can coexist with social and political vulnerability when belonging is measured by ancestry, culture, or presumed loyalty. In such contexts, minorities may find that rights are conditional on political convenience, rather than grounded in a durable commitment to human equality. Arendt's analysis implies that antisemitism thrives when citizenship is imagined as ethnic destiny and when political leaders can gain advantage by redefining insiders and outsiders. She also suggests that the weakening of representative institutions and the rise of mass politics can intensify these dynamics because demagogues can claim to speak for the authentic people while labeling critics as alien. This topic clarifies how antisemitism can be more than personal animus. It can be embedded in the way a polity narrates itself. When the state is tempted to solve crises by narrowing the circle of belonging, antisemitic ideas become a ready-made vocabulary for exclusion, policing, and the justification of unequal treatment. Fourthly, scapegoating, conspiracy, and the uses of social resentment, Arendt analyzes anti-Semitism as a powerful engine of scapegoating that converts diffuse resentment into a coherent story. Modern societies generate anxieties that are hard to interpret: economic volatility, class conflict, bureaucratic opacity, and perceived loss of control. Anti-Semitic propaganda offers a compact explanation by personifying systemic problems in an imagined enemy. Arendt pays particular attention to conspiracy thinking because it mimics rational analysis while rejecting evidence and complexity. It creates a world where every event confirms the narrative, and where political opponents can be dismissed as part of the plot. This kind of thinking also offers psychological rewards. It reduces uncertainty, provides moral permission to hate, and supplies a sense of superiority through secret knowledge. Arendt's emphasis is that these narratives are effective not because they are true, but because they are adaptable and emotionally satisfying. They can attach themselves to different contexts and absorb contradictions. She also shows how such stories can serve elites and movements alike by redirecting anger away from institutions and toward a vulnerable group. The topic reveals why anti-Semitism is politically durable. It operates as a toolkit for mobilization, simplifying governance failures and social fractures into a single, repeatable accusation. Lastly, Prelude to Totalitarianism: Conditions That Make Hatred Politically Effective. Although this section focuses on anti-Semitism, Arendt treats it as part of a larger inquiry into how totalitarian politics becomes possible. She draws attention to conditions that make hatred effective at scale: declining trust in institutions, the erosion of shared standards of truth, and social atomization that leaves individuals seeking identity in mass movements. In such conditions, propaganda can replace political debate, and narratives of enemies can substitute for policy. Arendt suggests that anti-Semitism became especially dangerous when it intertwined with broader patterns of imperial competition, nationalist fervor, and the search for unity through exclusion. She connects the escalation of anti-Semitic politics to moments when traditional class structures and party systems weakened, creating openings for movements that promise certainty and belonging. The significance here is diagnostic. Anti-Semitism is not treated as an isolated prejudice, but as a signal of deeper political decay. When a society normalizes the idea that certain people are inherently suspect, politics begins to shift from persuasion to coercion. Arendt's framing encourages readers to look for early warnings: when public life is reorganized around manufactured enemies, when complexity is punished, and when rights depend on identity rather than law. This topic bridges the historical study of anti-Semitism with the broader argument about totalitarianism's roots in modern political and social breakdown. In conclusion, this book section is best for readers who want to understand anti-Semitism as a political phenomenon rather than as a timeless moral failing. Students and general readers of modern European history, political theory, and human rights debates will benefit, as will anyone trying to make sense of how conspiracy narratives gain legitimacy in public life. Arendt can sharpen a reader's ability to analyze scapegoating, to see how minorities become symbolic stand-ins for complex problems, and to recognize how fragile rights can be when belonging is defined narrowly. The practical value is not a checklist of solutions, but a deeper civic literacy. The capacity to notice when institutions, language, and incentives start rewarding exclusion and mass resentment. Compared with many works that focus mainly on ideology or on a single national story, Arendt offers a broader framework linking social structures, state interests, and mass politics, which helps explain why similar patterns recur in different settings. That breadth is also why it is worth buying. It equips readers with concepts that travel across time and place, making it useful not only for understanding the past, but also for interpreting contemporary political pressures with more precision and less complacency. If you would like to support Hannah Arendt, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.